Okay. So Naaman's healed of his leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes and sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we've heard the story of Naaman. Your word. Just impact that on our lives and help us to take away what you want us to take away with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the story of Naaman. So would Naaman like to come up? If you would just like to, just hold it. It won't be for long.
Hold it up.
Just jump into the pool.
Okay.
All right. Hope it's not too cold.
No, it's fine.
That's all right. It's cool. So this is a story of Naaman, right? And this guy is some character. But in this day and age, we have many ways of washing ourselves and keeping clean, don't we? We have shower gel, has already been mentioned. We have soap, and we have very, very different, many different products that we can keep ourselves clean with. So way back in the days of black and white TV, I think there might be one or two of us that can remember black and white TV. Back in 1959, Procter & Gamble launched a revolutionary new soap, and I think some of us might remember that new soap, the name of it, Zest. Danny, you don't look old enough, mate. You do not look old enough. Good. Just make sure there. Within weeks of this top-selling brand, there was something about it. It went to the top of the list straight away because there was something about the advertising slogan that sort of prompted the people at the time to buy it. It just captured the public's imagination. Naaman, do you want to thrash about a little bit, or you're all right there? Yeah, that's it. So the slogan for the new Zest soap was, "For the first time in your life, feel really clean." Do you remember that slogan? For the first time in your life, feel really clean. And from scripture this morning, the verses that we've heard, Naaman found the gospel. That's the good news from God. And that strikes a deep chord in every single one of us. The moment that we plunge, as Naaman is doing here, plunge into God's remedy for sin, we experience the truth of that attractive slogan. We experience for the first time in your life, right, feel really clean. Naaman's story is probably one of the most familiar of that's the story within the life of Elijah, the prophet. It contains everything that we love in a really good story. A story that begins with building up of the characters in our imagination. Then there's a note of tragedy within the story. Then that's followed by a ray of hope. And finally, it's followed by a life that's happily ever after. The story structure is that of fables and fairy tales and Hollywood blockbusters. This story of Naaman just runs like that. It's going to be building up and building up and building up to an amazing climax. Now, I remembered the soap. I remembered the shower gel. I remembered my stones. I remembered asking for a paddling pool. And I remembered to put hot water in. What did I forget?
A towel.
A towel. Sorry, Naaman. So, anytime you want to get out, mate. And any time you want to sit down, feel free. Can I have a round of applause for Jonathan, please, for being a good sport? Yeah, that's it, mate.
I've got clean feet now.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Now, you might wonder, okay, what's all the theatrical bits about? That'll come clear. That'll become clear later. Naaman was a great man. He was a celebrity of his time. Many people looked up to Naaman. He was a commander of an army. The king of Aram thought that Naaman was the bee's knees. Everywhere that Naaman went, people recognized him. And it's interesting that we have three kings in this story. We have three kings in this story. We have the king of Aram, and we have the king of Israel. Now, the king of Aram was a cheerful sort of a guy that we can pick up, really, because he said to Naaman, that's it, you shoot off, you go and do what you've got to do. That's cool. But there, as we heard from Scripture, the Israelite king wasn't too chuffed because he thought he had to do something that he couldn't do. Anyway, we'll come to the third king later. Naaman was rich, he was powerful, he was the boss. And he was proud of that fact. And so he should be in lots of ways because he had a really, really difficult job to do. But, and there always has to be a but somewhere along the line, doesn't it? And Naaman had a big but. I don't mean he had a big but, but there's a but that he had in his life. You know what I mean. The big butt in Naaman's life was that he had a skin disease called leprosy. Now, leprosy is called by the skin discolours and flakes off, and it looks quite nasty, horrible, and it is very contagious. You know, sometimes with power, people can get a little bit above themselves. I don't know if you've ever encountered somebody who thinks they're powerful, and they tend to sort of lord it over you a little bit. I had when I was doing my youth work days, I had a boss that was really intimidating and used to call me all the names under the sun, which wasn't very pleasant. And it sort of beats you down a bit when there's a bullying boss. I don't know if you've experienced that. If you haven't, then that's great. Praise God. But sometimes people think themselves a little bit above themselves when they get a bit of power. They actually think they're actually more than they are. So Naaman was no exception. He held an office that demanded respect. And he got it. But sometimes, just because the office itself carries or demands respect, the person that actually is in that office, that holds that position, needs to earn the respect of the people. Just because you're a commander, it means you're good at doing commanding. But you still need to have the respect of the people that you command. The person in that position needs to earn the respect of the people around them. Now, it's interesting if we can just think back a little bit to verse 3. The servant girl in verse 3. This is interesting. She had enough respect for her master to tell him about Elisha, the man of God. She told him about the man of God that would be able to help him. So Naaman went to the king and gained permission to go and find Elisha. He packed his horse with silver and gold and clothes. So maybe he thought, just maybe he thought he could buy himself a cure. Just a thought. Sometimes when we have a certain amount of power, we think that we can do things in a particular way. In a way that we expect other people just to follow. Because I am who I am, I expect you to do this, this and this. It doesn't always work that way. Naaman arrived with a letter in his hand in front of the king of Israel. I think he was hoping for a little bit of a better response from the king of Israel than he actually got. The king was most upset at the expectation that he was expected to cure Naaman. And the king got so upset, he tore his robes. There's a lot of robe tearing in the Bible, isn't it? When people get upset, when they mourn, they just really express themselves in the way they rip their clothes. Elisha heard what happened, and he sent for Naaman. Now, see, this next bit I find really interesting, because in one way, I'm thinking, if I was Naaman, I might feel a little bit upset myself. Elisha is a man of God, and he doesn't go to greet his guest when Naaman arrives at his door. He sends a message saying, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And again, at this point, I can understand Naaman getting a little bit upset. Hang on a minute, I've travelled all this way. I've come all this way to see this man of God, and he's not even come out to see me. And now he just sends me a message saying, go and dunk yourself in the river 7 times. So Naaman gets a little bit upset, because he thought at least Elijah should actually come out and talk to him. Does he not know who I am? Does he not understand that I am a commander? Does he not know how important I am? And because Naaman didn't get what he wanted, he got angry. And he didn't do what he was told. Again, this is a very interesting point, that the servants came to their master and they said, if he had told you to do something great, would you have done it? So how then more important is it just to go and do what he said? Go and wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. And when he went and washed himself 7 times, as Elijah said, he was healed. Wow. Now, for those of you that are here, the last time we were here, and we're talking about Jonah. Jonah was a grumpy old so-and-so, wasn't he? But God still worked through him. And even Naaman here threw his dummy out the pram, saying, did not people not know who I am? And he gets angry. But then he's persuaded to go back and do what he's told. Even then, God still works and still keeps to his promise. Doing it God's way, Naaman was healed. If he continued to do it his way, he would still have leprosy. He'd still be the commander, but he wouldn't be healed. That sort of reminded me of my journey in faith, really, of where I'm at. Being a spiritualist, grew up in a spiritualist home. Mum and dad were spiritualists. I was seen as the golden child, I suppose, of... Not that I was put above my brothers and sisters. I'm the second eldest. I've got an older brother and 2 younger sisters and a younger brother. So I picked up the spiritualist way of doing things very quickly. So Mum and Dad encouraged me to do clairvoyance. They encouraged me to do the Ouija board. The Ouija board for us was the letters of the alphabet around a table with no and yes at either end and an upturned glass. I wouldn't recommend anybody do that at all because it causes all sorts of hassles and problems. And as I was growing up, Mum and Dad used to say that I had three what they call spiritual guides, people that are in the spiritual realm and looking after me. One was a Russian footballer, described himself as a Russian footballer. Well, that didn't do me any good because I haven't got any kneecaps. So that didn't work out. Well, I've got one kneecap. It's at home in a jar. And if I ever get managed to get back here, I might bring it back and show you. It's quite interesting, actually. Yeah. It's a good conversation starter with young people. And... then we had described as a red Indian chief who was sort of looking after my spiritual life, as it were. And then I used to do a lot of what they call psychic drawing as well. And that was, I had an Italian artist. Now, these three spiritual guides were supposed to be looking after me and helping me through life. So as a spiritualist growing up, I used to pray in lots of ways, I suppose, to my spirit guides. And then that way I would be able to help people, as I thought. So getting to know Alison. Ali was a Catholic, not a practicing Catholic, but Catholic by growing up. And a spiritualist. And you know God's got a sense of humour, but he puts a Catholic and a spiritualist together. And God's done some amazing stuff in and through us to bring us to him. Now, I wanted to do things my way. So I can relate to Naaman in lots of ways. You know, I had a certain power that lots of my friends didn't have. You know, I could see things. I could tell them about things that they didn't know about. So, although I didn't sort of lord it over them, I used to walk around a bit, you know, sort of, you know, cocky. So being a teenager growing up, wanting to play football, I've always wanted to play football for Manchester United, and that never happened, but never mind. Until somebody said to me, when we met Ali, when we got together, Ali started going to Christchurch Baptist Church, and some of the guys there come alongside me. Their heart was in the right place, but some of the things they said sort of really impacted me. You know, Mike, you're wrong. Well, that is a great way to start a conversation, isn't it? You know, Mike, you're wrong. Okay, what am I wrong about? Well, there is only one God. Yeah, okay. But you see, as a spiritualist, I've got a hotline to God anyway. Yeah, but you need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, but if you cut the middleman out, you know what I mean? You don't need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I wanted to do things my way. That's how I was going to do it. Until somebody came along and told me that it's important to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. And they started to explain about the love of God. And it started to unpack what it means that when we have Jesus in our life for the forgiveness of our sin. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, all those things that you've done wrong, all those things that have happened in your life, all those times that you've gone the wrong way and done things on your own, all that's washed clean. And then Jesus just says, follow me. All those times when Naaman said, do you know what? Elisha needs to come out to me. He needs to come out to me. He needs to talk to me. Does he not know who I am? And my attitude was the same. Do people not know who I am? Goodness sake. Some of my golfing buddies take the mickey out of me now. I'm not very good at golf. And when I have a paddy on the golf course, they say, but you're Mike Yates. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you can't play golf. You're Mike Yates. And they take the mickey out of me by saying that. It's good, clean banter. But as we've seen this morning, when Naaman followed the word of God through Elisha, he was healed. He didn't need shower gel. He didn't need soap. He just needed to follow Jesus. That's all he needed to do. So where are we at this morning? Because I've got a few issues in my life that I need to get sorted out. I've got leprosy. That's all right. That's handy, isn't it? Because the true king gave his life. The true king gave his life for every single one of us. Now, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I think I'm in good company. So what have we done this week? Have we done anything this week that we think, oh, hang on a minute, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have heard that. Or is there something that's in your life that you're thinking, oh man, I just wish God would sort this out. I've been praying. I just wish that I could just get rid of it. Now, I've had blocked ears now since Christmas. And it's really driving me up the pole. So I'm often going around doing this. So as I said, tomorrow, hopefully, I'll get some new hearing aids. But you know what would be really nice? What would be really great? Would be for this morning that God heals my ears. So I can go tomorrow and say, oh, do you know what? You can keep your hearing aids for somebody else, somebody that needs them. So what were the stones in? Well, this is how we're going to do communion, okay? You've heard the good news. You know what the good news is, okay? We're going to move now into communion, okay? And in a minute, I'll ask one or two of the servers to come up. And I would like you to get out of your seats and come forward to take communion. If there's anything that you have that you want God sorted out, anything at all, we're going to have a time of prayer. Just take a stone and throw it in the pool. It's symbolic. But we have the same God as we had it in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. God hasn't changed. He still heals today. He's an amazing God. And no matter where we've been, and no matter what we've done, he still loves us. He loves us just the same yesterday, today, and he'll love us again tomorrow in the same way. There's nobody that's more special than anybody else. If there's anything that you really want to ask God to do, come and take a stone. So I'm going to pray now, Lord, that you would just heal my ears in Jesus' name. So would one of the two of the servers like to come up? Is anybody willing to come and... Thank you. Guys, if you'd just like to stay there. The words from Paul, as we all know. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's just come before the Lord. Father, open our hearts and our minds to what you want to say to us this morning. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your body broken. We thank you, Lord, for your obedience. We thank you, Lord, for the symbol of the wine, for your blood shed for us to cleanse us. In Jesus' name, amen. And mums and dads, you're responsible for your children. And if they take communion, then that's your responsibility. But also, if they don't take communion, it's a nice symbol to come and take a grape, one, two, or as many as you want, as a symbol of where your children are at. If children, mum and dad says that's okay, then feel free. Please. Come and feast on the Lord. If you haven't already, drink and be filled in the name of Jesus. Amen. My Jesus, my Saviour, there is none like you. We thank you, Lord, that there is nobody like you. We thank you, Lord, no matter where we're at, no matter what's happened in our lives, or what's going to happen in our lives. You are the true rock that we can stand on. You are Almighty God. You are awesome. And you still want to have a relationship with us. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you so much, Lord. Build us up, Lord. Make us bold for you. Help us to march out from this place and be soldiers for you. To be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I don't know if this is topical, just because there's a paddling pool there, but I had a picture as I was praying of somebody that's digging a hole, and digging a hole, and digging a hole. And it's like, why on earth am I digging this big hole? And God is actually just saying to you, what are you struggling for? To slow down. If there's anything in anybody here this morning, they actually think, I've got this situation, I keep going at it and going at it and going at it, and nothing seems to be happening. God is actually saying, slow down, stop, wait, just wait. If that's a word for you this morning, just pray that God will bless you with that. If it's not a word and it's just me, then I pray the Lord will take it away. In Jesus' name, amen. For our last song, please, Sarah, please stand. And let's really bang this song out, shall we? Because it's a cracking song. Father God, great things you have done indeed. And great things you will continue to do. Indeed. Lord, help us just to move in step with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before I bring a blessing or say the grace together, do we need to have any arrangements for what's happening after?